You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we are coming to you live from Charlotte, North Carolina. The number is always to dial to get your questions answered live on air, as Randy just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK. That, by the way, numerically is 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I was informed early this morning that we were $80,000+ behind in our monthly giving. And so around noon, I sent out an email. I had been praying some and thought, you know what, I should alert the saints at CRI about the situation. And so I wrote a one-line email saying, "Dear saints, we need to pray for a year-end miracle. With just 2 days to go before the end of the year, we are $80,000 behind budget." And I was very touched by some of the responses I received. Here's just one, this one from Melanie, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. She wrote me back and said, "I've been crying out to the Lord about this matter. I know that God is good and that He loves us in the ministry. I also know Satan wants to stoke our unbelief and discouragement about such circumstances. I acknowledge I'm weak, I'm needy, and I am beseeching the Lord to hear my prayers, to be gracious to the Christian Research Institute, and to provide for our financial needs, which of course are many." And then in the chronology of the day, about mid-afternoon, Paul Young, who's been with our ministry through good and bad, through thick and thin for nearly 3 decades, interrupted my writing, but it was a very good interruption. He showed me a check for $50,000. And I simply offer that to you as a reminder of God's continued faithfulness, as well as an encouragement to give prior to year end. We most certainly need your gifts as well as your prayers. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org/donate. You can also, of course, write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. By the way, be sure to have your check, if you're sending it via the mail, postmarked by December 31st. And just for those who may be procrastinating, our resource consultants will be standing by until midnight, New Year's Eve, to receive your gift. So you can call between now and then, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Also wanted to just pick up on what Randy was saying at the opening of the broadcast about prophecy. And, of course, so many people today are put off, not only in the Christian world, but in the secular world, about this endless mill, almost a cottage industry, if it were, of biblical prophecies supposedly unfolding in the 21st century. But the reminder is that biblical prophecy is not intended to tell us when Christ is going to return, but that He will return, and when He does return, He's going to put all things to right. Biblical prophecy was never designed to pin the tail on the Antichrist or to pinpoint a future tribulation. Prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy are powerful proofs that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin. I've reminded people all this year of what God Himself has said. I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you. Why? Because you would then not be able to say, my idols did them. My wooden image, my metal god ordained them. Or as Jesus so aptly put it, I told you now before it happened so that when it does happen, you may be one of those who believe. The Bible is replete with prophecies. Prophecies that could never have been fulfilled through chance, through good guessing, good deliberate deceit. It simply doesn't wash. It isn't chance, it isn't good guessing, it isn't deliberate deceit. The predictive nature of the Bible, of course, was once a popular argument among liberals against the reliability of the Bible. Critics arguing that various passages were written later than the biblical text indicated because they recounted events that happened sometimes hundreds of years after they were supposedly written. And so they concluded that subsequent to the events, literary editors went back and doctored the original non-predictive texts. But this is simply wrong. Careful research has underscored and affirmed the predictive accuracy of the Bible. And of course, since Christ is the culminating theme of the Old Testament and the living word of the New, it shouldn't surprise any one of us that prophecies regarding Him outnumber all other prophecies. And many of these prophecies would have been impossible for Jesus Christ Himself to deliberately conspire to fulfill. For example, His descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or His birth in Bethlehem, His crucifixion with criminals, or I think of the piercing of His hands and His feet on the cross, or soldiers gambling for His clothes, or the piercing of His side, the fact that His bones were not broken at death, His burial among the rich. I could go on, but the reason I mention all of this is that in sharp contrast, predictive prophecies demonstrating the divine origin of religious books like the Quran are conspicuous by their absence. And while the Quran contains a number of self-fulfilling prophecies, like Muhammad's prediction that he would return to Mecca, this is very, very different from the kinds of biblical prophecies that I just mentioned. Other prophecies, such as Muhammad's prediction that the Romans would defeat the Persians at Issus, is equally underwhelming. Unlike the biblical examples, that prophecy is not fulfilled in the far future and thus can easily be explained through good guessing or an accurate apprehension of prevailing military conditions. All of this to say that unlike the Bible, the Quran is absent the kind of prophecy demonstrating that these words have to be the words of God. They cannot be the words of human beings. Of course, many other things could be said about the Quran. It's riddled with factual errors. One of the most noteworthy is its denial of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which has huge implications. It has led to a host of other errors, such as the fact that Jesus, according to Islam, was never resurrected. Instead, God made someone look like Jesus, and the lookalike was mistakenly crucified in place of Jesus. So in short, the distance between the Muslim Quran and the Christian scriptures is the distance of infinity. Not only does the prophetic prowess of the Bible elevate it far above other holy books, but as new archaeological nuggets are uncovered, the trustworthiness of the Bible, as well as the unreliability of pretenders, is further highlighted. And so as we close out 2015, we can be so thankful that we have a book unlike any other, a book by which when we read, we can interact with another mind, not just any other mind, but the mind of the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So please, in 2015, don't take the Bible for granted. Learn to read the Word of God for all its surpassing worth. Not only that, but start getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into you. I have a legacy reading plan. You can download it from the web at equip.org. If you've never read through the Bible in a year, this is a way, very unique way, in which you can do that in 2015. Check it out on the web, equip.org. A lot of you hanging on, go right to the phone lines. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, James, listening in Arkansas on Bot Radio. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, thanks for taking the call, and thanks for everything you do. Just two quick questions, and then I'll hang up just to listen.
Sure.
The first one, could you explain just a little bit more on your views as far as communion? It almost sounded like you were kind of endorsing maybe a loose view of transubstantiation, but I don't think that would be the case. And then the second question was just what your viewpoint is on Eastern Orthodoxy.
Yeah, well, I'm not endorsing transubstantiation. I think this is one of the problems that sometimes that we have in Western theology, and that is we want to take something that is an antinomy and give an explanation. And I far prefer the kind of thing that Luther did when he talked about the Lord's table or the Eucharist. He likened this to an enigma, which is to say that there is a mysterious reality of Christ's incarnation, which is an antinomy, and so too the fact that Christ is really present when we partake of the table. That's an antinomy. It is something that we hold in tension. And as Luther said, if you can explain how Christ is both fully God and fully man, I will explain how the bread and the wine are his body and blood. So for Luther, as for the early church fathers, the explanation was far less significant than the experience. And this is where I am. Experiencing the real presence of Christ is tantamount to becoming one with Christ, and oneness with Christ is tantamount to oneness with the Father and oneness in the Spirit. And that oneness gives us an opportunity to experience energy that is not created energy, but energy that is uncreated energy. And I would submit that this uncreated energy is what can cause us to live a life that is surpassingly powerful, not in our flesh, but in his broken body and shed blood. I think this is precisely what Paul had in mind when he was talking in Colossians about the notion that he is proclaiming Christ, but not doing it with his own energy. He said, to this end I labor, the end of proclaiming Christ, with all his energy, which so powerfully works within me. And so my presupposition is that it is the power of Christ that works within us to enable us to make reproducing disciple makers. It is that power that allows us to live a surpassing Christian life, a life not, as I mentioned earlier, by might or by power, but by his Spirit. I was thinking the other day about an analogy and talking to a nuclear physicist in New York about it as well. And that is nuclear fission, which is the splitting of atoms. Problem with that is it creates a tremendous amount of power, but it has toxic waste. But there's also such a thing as nuclear fusion. It happens in the sun and stars. It is the binding of atoms. And that binding of hydrogen atoms creates an enormous amount of power as well, but this power without any toxic waste. And that I liken to what happens when we are bound together at the communion table, partaking of the real presence of Christ, and then can go out in a mission or a mass to impact the world. So, no, my ideas are not Catholic ideas. They are Catholic in the sense of being universal, but certainly not Roman Catholic in the sense of a Western explanation of what's going on. I prefer to hold these things in tension and recognize that there are antinomies. These are things beyond our ken. We'll find more out about when we go into the new heavens and earth.
CRI has partnered with iDonate in order to maximize your non-cash donations like old cell phones, laptops, stock shares, cars, and jewelry. With this partnership, you can donate these items to iDonate, get the appropriate tax write-off, and fund the ongoing ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. For some of us, our wealth is not measured in cash, but by what we have invested in various items. Take, for instance, our cell phones or smartphones. Each year, 900 million phones are retired for better models, and the trade-in value varies from $5 to $200. So between $3.7 and $149 billion is just sitting around in our houses. Learn how you can donate these old items and support the ministry outreaches of CRI by going to equip.org/iDonate. That's equip.org/iDonate. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Have you considered what could be one of the best gifts you'll ever make? If not, consider this. Countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, mongers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. Yet your special gift today can help provide genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that as we near year end, it would be so wonderful for some of you this year to, for the coming year, commit to be monthly supporters of this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or as always, when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, of course, standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And when you give, I'd be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Kay. She's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, on WHVN. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Hank. You know, I had the privilege of meeting you several years ago. I'm sure you don't remember. You were still in California, and you were here visiting Norman Geisler, and I believe you gave a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Anyway, I explained to you that I was endeavoring to take a stand against the prosperity message. And if there was ever a city without excuse, Charlotte, North Carolina, that imprisoned Jim Baker with a 45-year prison sentence. Anyway, I presented you with a notebook. I don't know whether you remember that. And it had some of your material in it. But now, Hank, my question to you is, I am very grieved, and I'm sure you understand that very few do. When I hear something that makes a mockery of Christ's gospel and the truth, it's actual grief. You understand that, of course.
I certainly do. I do, and I understand the passion and the grief because, as you well know, there's always a dark hue to the prosperity gospel.
Yes, and this is, you know, Rick Joyner said one statement that earmarked him as a false prophet. He said, "The Lord told me when you stop having fun." No, the prophets don't have fun. They weep, as you know. So it's a very grievous role that I've played. Now, I said that to say, therefore, when I heard a prosperity message being aired on WHVN this Sunday, it broke my heart. I mean, they said all the key phrases, claim what is yours, healing is yours, God's word says you're healed, on and on. That grieves me. I've seen people die from that message, Hank, now. I've gone so far as I've left a voicemail for Tom Gentry. I don't know what else to do, but as you said the other day, standing for the truth, no matter what the cost, that I feel I have to do something about this. God holds us responsible for speaking truth, not for whether or not somebody receives truth. And the other thing that has grieved me, I don't know how else, I feel that Calvinism was birthed in the pit of hell. I'm sorry, that's how strongly I feel. God doesn't elect anyone to go to hell. If my puny grieving over one soul that goes to loss, you know, I can't imagine what God feels. Anyway, I said that to say R.C. Sproul's chosen by God.
Kay, I'm gonna have to just for a moment move on. I appreciate your comments. One of the things I do want to underscore is my passion on this subject of the prosperity gospel. I wrote a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. Reason I wrote this book, and of course it is available to our listeners, is that I think that the prosperity gospel, now symbolized so strongly through Joel Osteen, who's the biggest of the bunch, is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of certainly American Christianity, but Christianity around the world. And this is grieving to me because it's a commodification of the divine. and therefore becomes a reduction of Christianity to the crass specter of pagan consumerism. We're now being transformed through the recital of mantras, hardly through the renewing of our minds. And while a host of other problems are rampant in the Christian church, this is most certainly very, very grieving, because it's a kind of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends, which beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but because of what is on the Master's table. So you end up with the glory of the cross transposed to the glory of consumerism, a kind of fast food Christianity that is long on looks, but dreadfully short on substance. It is the triumph of technique over theology. It is the style trumping substance. It is preeminence of psychobabble over precept and principle. And I would say, in terms of Bot Radio, which you mentioned, and I want to address that, I have been with Bot on the radio for many, many years and seen a commitment on the part of Bot Radio to good, solid teaching. And that is what I have seen as the preeminent purpose of Bot Radio over many, many, many years. And so I would certainly want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know of what you speak, but I do know of their commitment to biblical truth. As far as what you mentioned regarding the darker side of the prosperity gospel, it is absolutely true. You think about the statement of the person I just mentioned, Joel Osteen, that the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. He says that's a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. Even talks at one point about someone who is a faithful member of their church who died as a result of accidentally saying something that was negative. His words are eerily similar to that of New Thought practitioner Joe Vitale. This was a contributor to Rhonda Byrd's The Secret. So you find this morphing out into New Thought metaphysics. And when asked whether a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally murdered attracted the horror to herself, the answer was, we are attracting everything to ourselves. There are no exceptions. And this is the kind of teaching, unfortunately, that depends on taking texts out of context and using them as pretext. I have committed myself to writing about this, standing, even though it hasn't been popular, on this subject, and as I said, wrote the book, The Austenification of American Christianity, as well as a volume that's been out for many, many years, Christianity in Crisis, and the newest permutation of that, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, both resources that you can find on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to James. He's listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, James.
Hello, Hank. I first really want to express my appreciation for your ministry. Over the years, it has really helped me to just be thankful that God has a voice speaking up for the truth with sound doctrine. I was on the Facebook, which I try to avoid, especially spending too much time on it, but yesterday, and saw a statement that said something to the effect that Buddha was not a Buddhist, Jesus was not a Christian, and Muhammad was not a Muslim. They were teachers of love, and I got so angry because it was from a friend of mine who I thought knew better, but and I just rattled off something to the effect of the fact that, you know, Muhammad did not teach love. He taught murder and hatred and violence and fornication. And, I'm all for peace and love and getting the facts straight. Read the Quran, which I did. I wish I had time to read the whole thing, but the first 20 pages or so was so chock full of arrogance and an arrogant tone that it was amazing that to me that religion has sold to anybody. But my question, I couldn't comment on Buddha on Facebook when I saw that statement because I'm really rusty. I was curious if you could make a statement on what their definition of God is, or if they have any kind of definition, because of course I know all the major religions are totally contrary to the facts.
Well, they are. And, you know, there are different permutations of Buddhism. I think, for example, of Zen Buddhism. And the dominant discipline of Zen Buddhism is Dzogchen. Through Dzogchen, which literally means sitting in meditation, Zenists are trying to seek to stamp out the self and become one with what they perceive to be the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe, or the only mind. And so their postures, their breathing, their chants are utilized as an attempt to free the mind from meaningful thought and achieve a sense of absolute emptiness. And of course, the Buddhists, who are oftentimes even agnostic, are in essence a historical offshoot of Hinduism. So to get a grasp of Buddhism, it's helpful to understand Hinduism as well. And I appreciate your allusion, therefore, to world religions. We ought to know where they deviate from the historic Christian faith so that we can use the deviations as opportunities to share the gospel. Buddhists actually hope to erase karmic debt and achieve nirvanic realization of no self in a certain way. They go through many reincarnations until finally they become one with the cosmic consciousness of the universe. And so liberation for them is escaping the endless cycle of life and death and rebirth. So what's the contrast in Christianity? The contrast in Christianity is not reincarnation, not nirvana in the sense of Buddhist realization, but rather resurrection. And the difference between Christianity and world religions is that Christianity is grounded in historical fact and evidence. We can know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And therefore, we too will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. It's not as though the soul continues to reemerge in different bodies, but no, our body, our singular body, is going to be resurrected. And when it is, it will be resurrected with the soul returned to it. And then we'll experience a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So the endless reemergence in Buddhism leads to just futile thinking, whereas resurrection gives us a hope and a passion by which we ought to be able to turn the world upside down. The hope, the prayer of the Christian Research Institute is that people will be willing to do for truth what so often the cults and world religions do for a lie. It's one of the reasons we ask people to consider standing with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
CRI has partnered with iDonate in order to maximize your non-cash donations like old cell phones, laptops, stock shares, cars, and jewelry. With this partnership, you can donate these items to iDonate, get the appropriate tax write-off, and fund the ongoing ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. For some of us, our wealth is not measured in cash, but by what we have invested in various items. Learn how you can donate these old items and support the ministry outreaches of CRI by going to equip.org/idonate. That's equip.org/idonate. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Christians agree that life and truth are important, but have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? As we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Thinking during the break that I've been doing this broadcast now for almost 3 decades, 30 years. It's simply amazing to me, and yet having done this broadcast, and I don't know how many broadcasts that would make, but the number would be astounding. But having done it for that many years, I still never take it for granted. As I read the testimonies, I recognize that people are making life decisions day by day based on what is being taught on this broadcast. So I do come into the studio with fear and trembling, not because I'm afraid of a microphone, but before God, I am responsible for what I say, what I teach, what I communicate. And that's why we say truth matters. We also say life matters more. It's not just the menu. It is the meal to which the menu points. All of that simply to say thank you so much for all of you, and you know who you are, who make this broadcast possible. My deepest gratitude in particular, as I'm sitting right now, goes to those who are making the broadcast possible in the LA area, because we just went back on in Los Angeles on KKLA. Want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Jim. He's listening in British Columbia, Canada on KARI. Hi, Jim.
Yes, Hank. Good to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you.
I've got a question that appears to be in a parabolic form in Proverbs 13, verses 7 and 8 in the King James Version. What do you make of it?
Is that a passage that talks about pretending to be rich?
Well, the NIV says pretending. The King James says makes himself rich, and then makes himself poor, yet hath great riches.
Yeah, and the answer to that is simply that this means exactly the same thing. If you look at Elizabethan English, it has now gone through what all languages go through, and that is transition. And so the language itself, after time, takes on barnacles, and that's why the newer translations simply smooth out the barnacles. Maketh himself means pretends in Elizabethan English. And there are many other examples that could be given. I think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, right around verse 15. We who are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, prevent actually means precede or to go before. And that's why the newer translations say, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Or I think of Psalm chapter 4, verse 2, how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Well, what does leasing mean? Actually, leasing means falsehood. And that's why the newer translations take the Elizabethan English and recast it. How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? So that's what's going on. It's simply language that's taken on the barnacles of time, and therefore it is now given not in the connotative sense, but in the denotative sense in the newer translations.
Can I give you what I think it says, just briefly?
Well, what I just said is correct. I mean, I know what the Elizabethan English is and why the modern translations give us pretends, because that's precisely what's going on. But I'm happy to hear what you have to say.
Oh, thank you. Okay, there is that makes himself rich. He's rich in this world. But when he dies, he won't take anything with him. There is that makes himself poor, that is, his riches are laid up in the kingdom of God, yet hath great riches. The ransom, or the payment of a man's life, are his riches, here on earth or there in heaven. But the poor, who is a rich man, heareth not rebuke, because in his pride and in his riches, he thinks he has it made now, but not for later. That's what I make out of it, but I thought I'd just see what you had to say, too.
Well, I think it's a wonderful teaching. The only point that I would make is that in the context of this passage, the two things are identical. They are synonymous or equivalent. One given in Elizabethan English and the other given in the modern English, our vernacular, if you will, of the day. Really appreciate your call and your passion, Jim. Thanks for calling back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joe. He's in Pennsylvania. Hi. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hello, Hank. Nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you.
Yeah. I told your call taker, I've kind of got a lot of frustration in my life. I have my joy in my Savior, but I happen to be a full preterist. And I've gone kind of from church to church and kind of got the left foot of fellowship when I kind of come out, so to speak, in a Bible study or small groups. So don't exactly say get out, but the attitude changes, and I've been trying to take a different tack, maybe kind kind of get letting people get to know me a little better first, and basically just kind of blending in with the woodwork and just not letting my beliefs known. And but I don't think that's good either. And what I was going to ask you, and I don't want to debate preterism with you, but what I wanted to say was, what do you think? Do you think it should be a test of fellowship, or do you think that this is the way we should be? Shouldn't we just be kind of debating things like iron sharpens iron, and just in an honest, loving way, kind of just talking about these things and let Scripture be the judge?
Sure. You know, Joe, my communication on the radio has always been the same. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. And therefore, I would never allow you, if I was the pastor of a church or a leading one in the church, I'd never allow you to teach what you're teaching, because what you're teaching is a violation of essential Christian doctrine. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is yet going to return. You're teaching that he has already come back, and that all things have been consummated. And I think that the evidence from real life, as well as the evidence from Scripture, militates against that point of view. Because when the Lord does return, that which now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we too ourselves. So we will no longer have the scourge of death, mourning, crying, or pain. Why? Because as Revelation says, the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In terms of attitude, I think your point is well taken. We should debate these things with gentleness and with respect. It is true that iron sharpens iron, and so I would debate with a Muslim, again, with gentleness and with respect, or with a Mormon or a Oneness Pentecostal, but I would never give them a platform to teach on the Bible Answer Man broadcast or in a church, because what they're teaching is distinctly different from what the Bible is saying with respect to essential Christian doctrine. So I do think, with all due respect, Joe, that full preterism is a heresy. It ought not to be taught in the church, and that Christians should treat you with gentleness and with respect. Go back to the phone lines now. Another Joe listening in Iowa, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
I've heard you say many times that we need to read the Bible and get for all of its worth. And I was wondering, is there a tool or some, I mean, you can go from cross-reference to cross-reference to cross-reference, but there's got to be more to it than just the Norton Study Bible or something.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right. There is more to it. Now, one of the things that is the more to it is the Spirit of God. And a reminder that we have, as Paul said, not received the spirit of the world, but we have received a spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And so what Paul is saying is that the Spirit of truth provides insights that permeate the mind as well as illumination that penetrates our hearts. Now, as a tool, what I've tried to do is give people the acronym LIGHTS. And the reason behind that is I want people to understand the principles in a memorable way. And I actually ended up designing a flip chart. It's 4x6. It's laminated. It can go into a pocket or a purse. And it gives you these principles, again, in a way that you can assimilate them so that you can use them. Because my presupposition is that if you are a believer, you're going to want to interact correctly with the mind of God and with the minds of those that God has inspired to communicate the precious words of Scripture. Now, I'll just give you really quickly what that acronym stands for, but you can get the flip chart as well. The L in LIGHT stands for the literal principle of biblical interpretation. It's a reminder that the Bible is inspired literature, but literature nonetheless. And so we need to understand how to read it in the sense in which it is intended. The I stands for the thing that I was just talking about, illumination. We need to read not just as a crass secular humanist, but rather as one who is inspired by the Spirit, praying that God will give us the unction, the ability to understand what he has given us, to plumb the riches in the mine of his word, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. The G reminds us of the grammatical principle. And this is something that's cool because the grammar itself is that which we are hardwired from birth for. So it's something that all of us can maybe not fully comprehend, but certainly apprehend. There is then the H, the historical principle. And the historical principle is very important because if you don't understand the history, it's very easy to get lost as you go through the Bible. For example, Ezekiel, when he's prophesying, he's in the south of Babylon by the Kibar River, and he's looking wistfully, as it were, to a temple that's vanished in the rocks around it. And so recognizing that gives us a historical perspective that in the future there'll be a Zerubbabel and Ezra, Nehemiah, etc. The typology principle, important because typology not only gives us a clue to what's happening in terms of type and substance, but also in terms of the difference between predictive prophecy and typological prophecy. Wrote about that in the book that we're talking about earlier, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy. And finally, scriptural synergy, the basic idea that you have to understand the individual parts so that you can understand the whole, and the whole so you can understand the individual parts. Again, the flip chart available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Talking fast, because I'm going to be out of here in 10 seconds. Look forward to seeing you right back here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast on tomorrow's edition.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote,
Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened. To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.